Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cereal from the Box. My name is Gianna.
I was about to go over you. I'm Marie.
And this is the show where we talk about the funny things that nobody wants to talk about. My eyebrows are waggling as I say it.
Stay tuned to find out what.
Anyways, it's been a while. Marie, what's up with you? What's new? What's exciting?
Exciting, not much. New is I've gone through a whole process, a whole journey, if you will, in securing this job that I've been offered.
Oh my
So I
God.
do have an official start date all set up,
When?
July 6th.
Woohoo.
Yeah, so that's good. That has put me at a little bit of like a peace of mind, I guess, just to have my ducks in a row, because I feel like it's a lot trying to figure out that, I don't know, everything.
Oh,
Just
yeah.
like I have to, might have to move. I need to figure out my whole expenses situation, just the boring adult things of life. So, yeah. But
Spooky.
hopefully you have more fun things that you've been up to.
Absolutely not. I'm like doing this show for my students, and it's an outdoor show, so like everyone's freaking out. It's like, what? Dancing outside? What? And it's like all the parents are like, maybe I'm just doing a terrible job communicating because it's my first year on this job, but like I'm like all the parents are like emailing me like 40 questions a day. I'm like, can you just look at our website, please? Like, please look at our website. Please look at the website. Or like, please scroll down. I sent you a document. Just keep scrolling. It's like my child's name isn't on here, and I'm like, screenshot their child's name, and they're like, oh.
Naturally.
But yeah, and like, I guess everyone that said they could help suddenly is not available. Like, I'm sewing costumes. I was like, I thought someone else was gonna do this. It's fine. And like, I start school next week.
Too much. It starts next week already.
Yeah, not
Oh
this
my
coming
God.
Monday, the following Monday. And then I've also like been doing background work on the show Marvelous Miss Maisel. So like now I have no
Woo!
hair. And
Not true.
it's just like I don't know. I feel like I have a lot going on right now, and I have an audition on Saturday.
Oh my God. You are a busy, busy person.
But I'll tell you all about it next time. Because we have a
Yeah.
fun guest on for the next episode, so
Woohoo. Yeah.
yeah,
I mean,
that's life.
okay, well, let's break that down. One, I want to ask about school. So it starts in like a couple weeks.
Yeah, so a week from Monday.
Okay, crazy. Do you have your class schedule and all
No,
that?
I do not.
I hate that so much.
I'm so
Okay.
anxious.
When do you find that out?
Supposedly this week or next week.
Oh my
I'm
God.
like, I need to know because I am like some people, I'm
Yeah.
not living off of mommy and daddy's money. Like, I need to work.
Yeah. Goodness. That's annoying.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where I was before I found out like my job stuff, except for I'm doing absolutely nothing. Which,
And my
as my
students
mom has
are.
indicated to me, she's very jealous of, but I don't like it.
No, like my students are also like upset. They're like, "Why are you leaving us? Like you said you wouldn't go." And I'm like, "I'm not going. I'm just like I need to do some stuff for me. Like I need to, try to
Yeah.
have my career." And they're like, "But like what about you're leaving us with like Like guys, I'll
Yeah.
be back. Guys, it's 1 year. I'll be back."
Right. You need to save them from the trauma of other things that go on in that studio.
Yeah, and like they just like I feel like none of them have an older sister that they like and like who they
Oh.
trust. So like they all like tell me all their like drama and like they're when they need advice, they like all ask me for So I just feel so guilty about leaving them, but like I never do things for myself and like I needed to
Yeah,
do this.
that's true. Yeah, and you shouldn't feel guilty for that.
No, I feel sad that I'm leaving them because I do care a lot about them.
Yeah.
But that's that. That's school, part one. I'll keep
Wow.
exhausted.
Crazy. And how has been being on set then for you?
That's been really fun. It's like kind of annoying because I have to drive from where I live to Brooklyn to just like get a COVID test, which is like 1.5 hour drive. But they pay me for it, which is a good thing. Okay. I get paid, but like I don't want to do it.
Cause, that like, is I'm, valid. Like, that's like a 3-hour like, round trip.
Yeah, and like I understand like I'm vaccinated, but maybe not everyone else is. But I'm just like, if I'm vaccinated, I'm not a risk to anyone, and I'll wear a mask, like, you know, around everybody, just like everyone else. We're wearing masks anyways, even though,
right,
you know, we're all mostly vaccinated, and just like it's such a trek.
Yeah.
But whatever, I get paid for it, so.
That's true. What about actually being on set?
That's like also fun.
Like, what do you
so
do?
They like, I got there. Like, I had to get there really early, and like I did all my makeup, like my face makeup. So like I did some foundation, and then like I did a little contouring. Not that I know how to contour, but like
we can pretend.
I just like put a little bit on like my cheekbones. I was like, this is contouring. Mm-hmm. And then I go in there, and like they did all my hair in like the 60s style. Like they did the hot rollers and like teased it, whatever. And then they did my makeup. Which was like they did like light blue eyeshadow, which I have brown eyes and brown hair and like a olive tone skin, and they did blue eyeshadow on me.
I was so surprised when you sent a picture. I
was shocked. I was like, yeah. Why would they do this? But it didn't look bad.
That's
it
cool.
Wasn't terrible.
Yeah,
I'm like the camera wasn't like on me anyway, so it's not like.
Was that in the style?
Yeah, it was.
I guess it must have kind of been
because
I'm
cat eye kind of.
Yeah.
Baby cat eye.
I feel like I'm thinking of Twiggy too. Didn't Twiggy kind of have?
Yeah, I don't know if she.
Pretty intense eye makeup.
Yeah, but like I was supposed to be a church person the last time, so.
A churchgoer with her blue eyeshadow.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like I was sitting next to two grandmas, so.
Oh.
Anywho, so like that was that, and then.
Oh.
They called me to come back, but they cut my hair off last time, so luckily this time took a lot less time on my fitting because they didn't have to cut my hair. That took 2 hours almost.
Oh my god. They really did a thorough job.
He was so meticulous. He's like, I want you to love it. Like, I want it to be good. And I was like, you're so nice. Yeah. He's like, oh my gosh, I remember you from last time. How do you like your hair? I was like, I love it. Thank you.
And that's called acting.
I know. I was like, oh my god, it's so fun. It's like really fun.
But, I think it looks cute for the record.
Thank you. It's definitely a lot easier to take care of.
That's true.
Just because like having long, like semi curly wavy hair is kind of a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that's set, and like I'm excited to go back. Like, you know, it's just a lot of like, oh, do that again. Oh, everyone walk around again, just like you did last time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it.
I just was thinking, I was like, it's like Simon Says, you just got to be really good at following directions.
Yeah, basically. Okay, pretend like you're getting the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Except, no, they said, pretend you're getting the body of Christ. Like, they're like, didn't know anything about Catholic Church. I was like, we're doing this wrong. Like, when we go back to our seats, we're supposed to kneel.
I'm like, wow. You should have really fact-checked them.
I was like, gonna say something. I was like, and like, you have to like do this afterwards. And like, some people aren't doing it. And then at the end, I think someone told them because they were like, oh, can you redo that scene? But like, do this.
They didn't even say the sign of the cross.
Don't cross yourself.
Cross
yourself.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, how about this one? They were like all immigrants. Like, you have to do like the.
Oh, yes.
Because they were like Italians. Italians, Irish, and Latinos. So that's, yeah, that was fun. I'm excited for the next one, though.
Yeah, I gotta stay tuned for your episode.
I feel like I should start watching the show.
We should watch it together.
Yeah, I think I watched a little bit of season one already.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first few episodes.
I may have watched one episode, because I know one of my friends from middle school, who I still talk to every now and then, was really into it, like, a couple years ago, I feel. So I think I watched one episode, but that's as far as I got. So I'd be willing to binge watch while I still have free time.
Yeah, I don't have free time, but, like, I've just been watching Super Nanny, so it's fine.
You know, I love that for you, so.
It's so relaxing.
Screaming kids is so relaxing.
The thing is, they always have the same ending. The family's always like, thank you, Super Nanny, for teaching us how to do a timeout and not giving our kids snacks all day long so that they eat dinner. Thank you, Super Nanny. Like, well, one dad was like, oh, yeah, if he doesn't eat his dinner, he'll have chocolate milk. It's fine. I'm like, no, it's not. You can't just have chocolate milk for dinner. You'll be hungry.
Yeah.
Super Nanny was like, you think he's going to eat that all day? That's all he's going to need. Oh, you stupid. And the dad's like, oh. And she's like, nutrients? There's no nutrients in chocolate milk. Love that lady.
There's calcium. Actually.
Yeah, but that's it. Where's the fiber? Vitamin C. Potassium.
Well, anyway. Since you did that great tidbit in the beginning, I feel like we should go straight into the pee pee poo poo time that you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, so, like, okay, have you ever been constipated?
Yes, I think everyone in their life has been constipated at least once. Some more chronically than others.
Because, like, that's something I think about a lot. Because on my intuitive eating journey, and also my small budget journey, sometimes I'm like, I ate french fries, ramen, and shrimp. And that's what I had for dinner. Mm-hmm. And then for lunch, I had chicken nuggets and, like, 4 pieces of carrot.
Delicious.
And then a bagel. And then, you know, it's like, you're just like, okay, what in, I don't know if this is like a leftover, like, eating disorder mindset, but, like, what in my meals is helping me poop? Like, I truly think about that.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if that's, like, a disordered eating thing or just, like, a conscientious bowel movement thoughts. Because I feel good when I poop. We were talking about, like, there's this thing called poophoria, and it's real, and it's when you have a big poop, and it feels so good coming out of you that it's like an orgasm. I thought it was called a poogasm, but I looked it up, and it was poophoria, and it's because when your poop is large enough, it stimulates your anus.
Oh, my goodness. As I've said before, I have known the sweet, sweet relief of being able to take that perfect big dump and just feel great afterwards. But I think, going back to, like, your question, like, one of the intuitive eating principles, which I think is a bit trickier to implement when coming from, like, a disordered eating background than, like, people might realize, is the gentle nutrition part. And, like, being mindful of, I don't want to say being mindful of what you're eating, but I guess that's right. But just kind of like having a little bit, having a little bit of an awareness where if you're dealing with IBS, if you're dealing with constipation, like, maybe you need to have a bit more fiber. I'm not an expert. I'm not saying that's what you need to do, but I'm just, from what I hear on the internet, some level of fiber is probably good for your body. But if you're like not eating enough fibrous things or fibrous vegetables or whatever, like, it could be a contributing problem, but, you know, it's just, like, hard to say when, I totally just lost my train of thought. So sorry. I was distracted by Deanna opening her cup.
Sorry, it was just really close, really hard. No, like, like,
do you know what I'm trying to say?
I know exactly what you're trying to say. It makes total sense. And so I think that I am thinking about it in, like, a positive way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm, like, trying to eat nutritiously. And that's a goal of mine that I've had for a few months now. Like, we've talked about it before on the show.
Yeah.
Where a lot of my safe foods are pretty basic.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like other foods. I just, my lifestyle is not conducive to me eating a wide variety of foods because I just don't have the time to cook.
Yeah.
And, like, some people argue, like, oh, like, but, like, a salad, like, you don't have to cook it. And I'm like, you have to chop everything up, and you have to get a big bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, things can go bad. And, like, again, like, I don't like to blame things on, like, being, like, neurodivergent in any way. But, like, when you have ADHD, it's really hard to, like, remember what you have in your fridge, and you just, like, look at the front. You don't remember, like, oh, you gotta look in the back. And, like, I have food that goes moldy all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, I hate wasting money, so I won't buy a big thing of lettuce because it's, you like, gonna go moldy, and I know it's, I know that about myself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sometimes I just worry that I'm not gonna poop, and then I'll feel bad about myself. Because I'll feel, like, really, like, bloated and, like, upset.
Yeah.
Because I haven't pooped, like, and I'll know it's not because I'm, like, gaining weight, not that that's a bad thing, but, like, in my mind, you know, it's something I still have to keep working towards is, like, not being fat phobic.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, but just, like, I have to be, like, no, you really are just, you haven't pooped, you know?
Yeah. I think it's hard, too, when, like, you have, like, terms like morning skinny and things like that. Where, or at least for me and my daily bowel movement routine, is I usually, like, go to the bathroom in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, sometimes there's, like, an association of, like, either feeling lighter after you go to the bathroom or feeling like you need to kind of release or whatever, like, the that stuff. And then I think
sometimes, like, I don't even feel hungry if I don't poop.
Really?
My stomach still feels full.
That's interesting. I guess that does kind of make sense, because I feel like after I take a poop, then I'm like, ah, I'm ready to eat. So
yeah.
I experience it in the opposite way.
And, like, I was reading this article about people who have recovered from disordered eating, and it seems like most people who suffer from anorexia or bulimia are constipated, like, 100% of them. Like, when you're starting recovery, your body doesn't, like, digest the food. Like, okay, so it's digesting the food, but what happens is because, like, when you poop, it's because your body is discarding things it didn't need. But when you're so malnourished,
right,
you need as many nutrients as possible, so your body is, like, holding on because they're scared they're not going to be re-nourished.
Mm-hmm.
And so the outtake is too, it's like, it's hard to get them out of you because, like, your colon and your intestines are trying to absorb everything from
mm-hmm.
your food, so it gets really hard inside of you.
Also, and I guess I think this is kind of related, and this is also just me guessing because I took anatomy 2 times. But you need water in your poop. And
yeah,
I think another thing is in early recovery, you tend to retain a lot of water as well in order to help with, like, I think, like, the transference of nutrients to different parts of the body. So I think that's part of the problem. I don't know if it says that in your article, but
no, that's exactly what I was trying to
Brilliant.
Say. I was trying to say that, and it just I'm not as concise as you.
No, all good. I was just thinking about water retention.
No, that's exactly it. It's like their body is holding on to whatever it can.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, then you just got some dry shits in there.
Yeah, it's super common. Unfortunately, I've known people that have gone too long of a time without pooping. That something had to be done about that.
Yeah.
It's, like, not good not to poop. But I remember that was one of, like, the signs that are, to me anyways, that I was like, oh, maybe something is wrong. Like, before, like, I went to treatment, is, like, I would kind of notice that, like, I would have a hard time going to the bathroom, or I, like, wouldn't have pooped for, like, you know, a couple days. I was like, that seems not right.
That never happens,
you know?
Because I was taught that I should excessively eat papaya.
Is papaya fibrous fruit?
Papaya literally gets everything out of your body. It's like...
How interesting.
So if you are having trouble pooping, drink a papaya smoothie.
Yes, I wish I liked papaya, but it doesn't taste good.
That's why you gotta put it in a smoothie. So you can...
I guess.
I mean, it does have a rather strong taste.
I don't know. It's just, like, a weird taste.
It has a terrible smell. It smells so bad. But, I mean, I like it. But now I just, like, have trouble eating it sometimes because I get flashbacks. So I don't eat it all.
Oh, when I was a kid, I had to drink prune juice. I would, like, eat prunes.
People solutions versus Hispanic people solutions.
What?
Papaya versus prune juice.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm really showing my colors here. I'm showing that I'm actually an old lady. No. I think, too, when it comes to... Well, because, I mean, specifically if we're going into the territory of, like, IBS issues in conjunction with the eating disorder, whether the IBS came first or after or whatever, I feel like that can be extremely triggering, really hard, because then you feel like there's certain foods that you can't eat, and that can feel really restrictive. Right. So I think sometimes, and especially like in your case specifically, I know that's not going to be the same with everybody else, but I think where the gentle nutrition or mindfulness would come in is like, not that you should be eating different foods than the ones that you are, but you should just be adding in the more fibrous things.
And I feel like I do try. It just like, sometimes it really hits me. I'm like, this is going to be a rough day tomorrow morning. Like, I'm really going to be pushing it out. Like, I better drink water.
Yeah. And I think too, so unrelated to the constant, well, it is kind of related, but I'm a little bit of an opposite problem. When I was struggling with the binging, I don't know why I said it like that. My dumps were massive.
Yeah, like, if you're eating a lot of food, of course your body's discarding so much stuff that you don't need.
Yeah, it was just, like, so weird to me. Because, like, I don't know, I think I used that as, like, this really backwards way of, like, justifying it.
I also...
Because, like, I would feel, like, really negative and bad about my body. But then the next morning, and oh my god, it would be the worst too, because it would hit me at the same time every single day, and I'd be at work, and I'd have to use their bathroom. And I would need to go, like, a couple times in a row, just to make sure everything's all good. Especially if I'm adding coffee to the mix.
You know what? Also, that's been, like, a big thing for me, because I really can't drink coffee anymore.
Yeah.
Just because, like, it's really acidic for me, and, like, I don't know what's going on in my stomach. Honestly, I think it's ever since I got this UTI, and then I took antibiotics, and then I didn't take probiotics until, like, later. I think, I don't know. But I really have a really hard drinking. I have a really hard time drinking coffee because sometimes it's too acidic, and so now, like, I feel like if I drink coffee I would have much more regular poops, but like I don't want to just eat things I don't enjoy because of
does that hurt your tum-tum?
No, it just like,
what do you mean by like
throat close up?
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just wanted to know what you meant.
So
by
I start like gagging, like I'm like,
oh my god, that's not good.
That's why when we went out together when we were visiting, like I got iced tea instead of coffee because I don't, like, I just can't really do it, especially that place. Yeah. Like, they make really good coffee, but it's too strong for me now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Check out First Village Coffee in Austin.
Shout out. So, I don't know. I think sometimes, like, maybe I guess the moral of this story is be conscious of your thoughts around poops. And how that's impacting your relationship with food. Because I think, like I was saying, like, I kind of felt like I was having really bad body image after binges. But then because I was taking really big dumps, I was like, oh, no, it's, like, it's okay. Now it's fine. But if I also didn't take a big dump, then I would get, like, really panicked about it. Because I was like, oh, no, it's still inside me. Which is, like, a weird disordered kind of thought.
Yeah.
Relating back to whatever needs society has put in me that my stomach has to be flat at like all times, otherwise it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
Which also, it isn't. So
yeah. No, also going back to the whole IBS thing, there's like There's also been, like, a lot of kind of debate I've read about, like, did IBS lead you to an eating disorder, or did having eating disorder lead you to IBS?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think, well, I guess it also depends on the eating disorder, right?
Right. Like, restrictive eating disorders.
Yeah, because I could imagine that you could develop ARFID because of your IBS.
Yeah, that's actually, like, the last article I read was, like, specifically focused on how can you diagnose patients with IBS with ARFID.
Mm. You're so well-researched, G.
I'm interested in the poops.
I'm impressed.
It's something that I've really been, like, doing lately. It's, like, falling down, like, research rabbit holes. Mm-hmm. Which is weird because I really don't understand science topics.
Well, that's why we're here for the discourse. I have a very small brain that semi-understands science. So I'll do that part for you.
Aww. Because it's like sometimes being diagnosed with IBS and not being guided by a nutritionist can cause people to have restrictive eating disorders.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Well, the thing that...
Or when you self-diagnose yourself with IBS.
Sure. Well, I mean, low-key, I feel like that's not any different than a doctor diagnosing you with IBS because it's really just a catch-all category for stomach problem, IBS. You know what I mean? But I think what... I'd be curious to know is, like, especially when you have, like, I guess more severe forms of IBS or, like, gastroparesis or paresis, I don't know how to say it properly, where, you know, like, you're in such physical pain or aren't able to eat for, you know, because of that, because your diet has to be so restrictive so that you can live life in an enjoyable way, is it still possible to maintain a healthy relationship with food, or is it a little inevitable that you might develop some disordered eating?
Well, okay, so in my limited time where I was, so right, again, back to my UTI, and I took those antibiotics, and, like, anything with dairy, like, I would be in, like, immense pain. And I was, like, afraid to eat things because, like, I was like, what if there's dairy in it and then I'm going to be in pain? You know, so right. I can only imagine what having a longer list of those foods would do to somebody.
Sure. Yeah. Because I feel like I've seen on TikTok, like, some people with pretty, like, severe stomach issues, like, being like, here's what I eat in the day. And I'm not a huge fan of what I eat in a day videos yet. They're all over my For You page. But, It feels like that for the most part, like, despite the limitations, they're still able to have as enjoyable of a relationship with food as they can. But also, I mean, it's always impossible for the most part to tell, you know, like, what someone's relationship with food is like just because of a video.
I was just like, if you're making videos like that constantly, are you really having a normal relationship with food?
I don't know. It depends, because I feel like I see, like, different categories of it, right? I see people who are like, I'm in recovery or I'm recovering from an eating disorder. Here's what I eat in a day. And I think the intention of those is either, one, to hold themselves accountable, or two, to kind of model for other people, like, here's how I practice intuitive eating in recovery. Here, like, I'm eating these foods, so, like, it's okay that you eat these foods. So there's, like, that category. There's, which, you know, gets tricky because, like, recovery is, like, a crazy process, and you can be engaging in disordered behaviors and not be fully aware of it. But anyways, then another category is I have a lot of fat creators who are making what I eat in a day is in order to, I guess, kind of just normalize existing in a fat body. And, like, they deserve to be nourished, too, and just like everybody else.
Disproving, like, oh, fat people do this. Like, oh, fat people eat this amount of food, and this is why they're fat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, I mean, oh, my God. it's so frustrating to at least hear about what they deal with in their comment sections.
Right.
And, like, how people are reacting to their videos and treating them because of how much they do or don't eat or how, quote-unquote, healthy they eat or don't. And it's just, it's freaking bizarre. And it's upsetting. That's how people are being treated. But that's, like, another category. And then the last category is... I guess it must be, yeah, people that are struggling with a different kind of issue, and they're showing how that, like, impacts what they eat in a day. Like, I watched one where, I don't know if it was, like, muscular dystrophy, but it was one where, like, some kind of disease that
like
had.
Like, a degenerative muscle disease?
Yeah, something kind of like that impacted this person's metabolism. And so as a result, they, like, have to eat more in order to sustain their body's needs. So stuff like that, the people that have IBS or, like, gastroparesis or things like that, I feel like those are kind of the different three categories I have. And I think for this group, it's more like I want to show you what it's like living with whatever illness that I have. So I think that's why they do it. It's also, like, you never know people's intention.
Right.
Because I know, like, at least for me, when I was first starting recovery, like, it was easier if I was, like, let me make my food aesthetically pleasing so I can take a picture of it and, like, put it on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it just, like...
I understand.
You know? So, it's always hard to, like, suss out what people's intentions are.
Right.
Those things.
I, like, thought about it. I was like, maybe I should make one just for fun. And then I was like, that's so much work. It's not.
I the temptation pulls me to, and then I realize, one, it's not helpful. Two, all of my food is ugly. So really, who is it for?
Yeah.
Because I do really appreciate those, like, nice, aesthetically pleasing videos where it's like, here's everything I do in a day, and it includes their food and things like that. And it's like, I want to do that. I want to be a main character. And then I'm like, actually...
Like, I already know that, like, I'm a quirky side character that's in, like, two scenes. It's like, hey, y'all, what's up? And then, like, never comes back.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, nobody, I don't have any main character vibes.
Nobody wants to watch me eating, like, chicken nuggets off of a kid's plate who's gonna throw them away. Like, nobody wants that.
This is what I think to myself. I was like, if it's not aesthetically pleasing, there's no point. One thing that I have thought of doing that I think might be helpful, and if any of you listening think this might be helpful, let me know, is to break down a specific meal and the thought process that I go through in order to make it intuitive.
I think you should do that.
Do you know what I mean?
I would love that.
Okay, well, we can discuss further and figure out how to make that the most possible and most helpful. Because I think, like, one, especially if you're navigating the intuitive eating journey by yourself, like, luckily I had the support of, like, a nutritionist to kind of help guide me through what that could look like. But I feel like there's so many questions that you have to ask with yourself in order to, like, check in to see how hungry you are, what you're in the mood for, you know, things like that, and navigating those different thoughts or reactions that come up. So I thought that could be helpful without, you know, being triggering.
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
Yeah. Did you have anything else to say about poops?
No. Just, like, wipe from the front to the back, guys.
Okay. Good tip.
Front to back. We also don't want to contaminate.
Yes. Cottonelle wipes are heavily on implant.
I love baby wipes.
Yeah.
For, like, a booty problem. For a butt situation.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyways. Cool. That's that. Marie, didn't you want to talk about something else today?
Sorry. Yeah.
I'm, like, butt talk.
That's okay. I'm excited by your topic. Now, the other thing that I kind of wanted to just talk about is how transition periods or periods of change or impending change impact the ED, basically. Just because I feel like over the past couple weeks, that's the situation that I've been in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of interesting because I think when, like, the eating disorder first developed, like, it really started to take hold during a transition period, like, from high school to college. And I don't know why you did that.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, a brief explanation. We record these things over Skype, and I don't know why, but all of a sudden a sad emoji just took over the screen, and I was like, did I hit that? Did Gianna hit that? What's going on?
I don't know how that happened. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
It's a serious moment.
Tears. anyways, so yes, I think from high school to college was like obviously a transition period, a period of change, and I think that really escalated things with the disordered eating issues that I was experiencing in high school. So it is seemingly obvious that transition periods are not a great time for me. However, I don't really like think about myself as like someone who struggles with change or struggles with transition periods. Yet, evidently, it appears that I do for some reason. And so currently right now, as I've, you know, mentioned, like I've graduated from school, I'm working on securing this job, and I have had absolutely nothing to do and no structure to my days for like the past, I guess almost a month at this point. And while I guess part of it is like a productivity thing, I think that more comes up for me when I have a lot of stuff going on. I'm like, oh, I need to be productive at all times because I have things that I need to get done. But during this period, it's more been like, I just don't have anything to do and I'm extremely bored. And I absolutely hate being bored. And I think in the past, that's been like a kind of a trigger for like binge eating and things like that. So dealing with this boredom, dealing with like the uncertainty of, cause like for a while I knew I was offered a job, didn't know the next steps, didn't know when I was going to start the job, if it was going to be in person, how much it was going to pay, all these things. I didn't know if I have to move out of my home cause I live with my parents right now or what. So I think not knowing that information combined with having absolutely nothing to do, and then at the same time having nothing to do but being like, you could read a book right now, you could go on a walk, you could do X, Y, and Z things, but like having absolutely no desire to do any of those things, then I was like getting frustrated with myself because it's like, this is this boredom is self-imposed almost. Like, I could not be bored right now if I wanted to do these things, but I don't want to do these things. So then I get like frustrated. And I had noticed when this was like first coming up that the only way that I was structuring my days was with my meal times. And like in my head, I'm like, okay, breakfast should be around this time.
I do that too.
Lunch is around this time. Yeah. Eat dinner is around this time. And so then I would just, because I'd have so much time in between, and it really felt like time was moving at the slowest pace ever. It'd be like 4 o'clock and I'd be like, oh, I guess I'll just start thinking about dinner now.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, cause I just didn't have anything else to think about. And then I felt like that like really threw me off because I was thinking about food way more than I wanted to. And for me, that's been one of the goals of recovery is to not mm-hmm. think about food all the time. To like mm-hmm. not, like, I just want it to be so simple, so easy.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm hungry, okay, let's go get food. Let's eat, mm-hmm. we're done. So by thinking about it way too much, I feel like that makes me more anxious. And then I start to have, like, thoughts about being worried about binging, which I feel like I haven't had in a while. And I don't know if other people experience this, but I feel like binging is a little bit like panic attacks Or, like, having panic disorder in the sense that, like, you're anxious about having a panic attack.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're already worried about binging, and then so you end up binging because you're worried about binging.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that kind of stressed me out, and I was like, I don't like this. And I'm trying to think of, like, what other things that I also noticed. It was just, like, it was weird that I had these little things kind of creep back in terms of, like, I feel like I've been fine, I've been doing great, recovery is going strong, awesome. Mm-hmm. And then it almost feels like all of a sudden out of nowhere, like, just, like, these little urges and, like, thoughts are popping back up. And that's, like, in and of itself hard to deal with, because it's like, oh no, what if it doesn't go away this time? Like, what if they just stay? Or, like, I also, like, I personally got really worried, and I know, like, a lot of this has to do with, like, the fat phobia that I still need to work on, like, undoing, but, like, over the past couple years, like, my weight has fluctuated so much between, like, how my recovery journey has gone, and, like, one of my first thoughts was, like, oh, no, my weight's gonna start cycling again, because my weight's been pretty stable over the past
several months. Well, I don't even know if that's, like,
you know?
I don't even know if that's, like, fat phobic, just because, like, it is uncomfortable to have to keep changing clothes. And,
yeah,
like,
that's
just
true.
Going through so many bodily changes, whether it's growing or shrinking, is traumatic. You know, it's not like you're, like, my body's gonna get bigger and that's bad. Your fear, from what I can understand, is, like, just changes. Just changes can be unsettling.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, it's a little bit of both. It's, like, a fear of, like, I'm comfortable at the weight that I'm at, and I don't want my weight to go up again. And I think that is rooted in, like, a fat phobia thing. But I think you do have a fair point, too, with, like, just weight changes in general. Like, that adds on to the anxiety that I have about other things, because I don't like buying myself new clothes when my weight changes. But it's inevitable. And right. So then I get worried about spending money, and it just becomes, like, a whole thing. So I think it's, like, really hard. And I guess, like, this is something that I've noticed with binging. I don't know if this is, like, something that you've noticed too, Gianna, is the urge to binge feels more like you have to fight so hard against it in order to not do it. Like, restriction is kind of, like, something you want to do, but you have to kind of, like, be like, no, we can't do that. I don't know how to, like, better explain it, but it feels like the urge to binge is, like, inevitable, and I have to fight so hard against it, whereas restriction is...
something that you can more easily set aside.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know. One's, like, more forward and one feels more backwards. I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah, I think because in like a recovery journey, you're taught, like, you want to give your body food, and it's a good thing to eat, which it is, but then when you feel out of control, and there's something wrong, it's like you're fighting to tell your body that you've had enough.
Yeah, and I think that's where, and this is kind of why I was thinking about the intuitive eating video, because I think that's where so many of these questions then come up, because, like, I'm checking in with myself, like, okay, am I hungry, am I not hungry? Am I having, like, an urge to binge, or am I not? Okay, is it okay that I'm eating the amount that I am? And then I'll, like, respond to myself and be like, yeah, it's fine. Like, you don't need to be afraid of eating, quote-unquote, too much of this food. Like, it'll all work out. It's fine. But then I'm like, oh no, how am I going to feel about it tomorrow morning? Or what if I'm actually not hungry right now? Like, what if my body's tricking me? And then it's like, I don't want to get myself back. And this is, like, how I know, like, things aren't great, is because this kind of talk is showing me that I'm being distrustful of my body, that I'm feeling out of control around food. And that's not a mindset that I want to be in. So, like, I've obviously talked to my nutritionist about it. So, like, that's been helpful. to, you know, reach out to a support. Two, trying to be as compassionate as I can during the process. Because, like, at least I know for me, I'm like, yeah, I know kind of what's contributing to these things. I know what about this transition period is, you know, making the, recreating these old patterns and having them kind of come up again. So I kind of just have to remind myself that it's gonna pass. One meal or one day doesn't completely ruin the rest of my day, the rest of my week. And even if it does, or it puts me in a mood, or I'm feeling really bad, like, that's gonna pass too. Yeah. Like, I can get through that. So,
and, like, I'm really sorry that you're feeling like that, but I'm also glad that, like, you're so able to understand your feelings that you're not letting it kind of spiral you into, like, a deep hole.
Yeah, I try not to. I told my therapist this morning, I'm like, I think I wallow in my feelings a little too much.
No.
Like, because she was like, have you ever thought to, like, I was, like, telling her, I think, like, this past week, I don't know, there was a variety of things. There was something going on with, like, one of the meals that I had that had made me upset. I was reading a book that was, like, upsetting. It was, like, a whole thing. And I spent the whole day not feeling great. It happens. But I told her, I was like, yeah. And she was like, so what do you think you needed in that moment? Like, did you ask yourself what you needed? And I was like, no, I just kind of wallowed in it. Just kind of let it be. Which I guess is not a not valid way. Because, I mean, at least in treatment, one of the treatments I attended, there was like, ride the wave of emotion.
I mean, that's one way to do it.
It is definitely one way to do it. I also think, like, asking yourself what you need is a pretty good way to go about things. Because, I mean, I think at the end of the day, everything kind of breaks down into that. Like, what do you need in this moment? But
I'm always just like, at the end of the day, I'm like, I just want cuddles.
You know what? And that's valid. And you deserve it.
And I, like, call Noam and I'm like, Noam, like, why can't you come over? And he's like, I live 1 hour away. And I'm like, but you can still come over.
Oh my goodness. That's cute.
I'm just needy. I really want myself.
That's okay. We all have needs. It's okay to be needy.
But, like, do you feel like once you are back in your routine, you're going to kind of even out?
Well, that's what's kind of scary about it, because on one hand, like, I don't know for sure, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, part of me is like, yeah, maybe. But I think for me that leads to a bigger question of, like, okay, well, what even allowed me to get to this place to begin with?
Well, I mean, like, having nothing to do is kind of like, just gives you too much time to think, I think.
Yeah, I think I don't want to it's hard, because I feel like I'm thinking all the time and also not thinking all the time. So I can't pinpoint that exactly, but I feel like I know for a lot of people, having too much time to think is one of the many reasons that people keep themselves way too busy and feel like they need
just to start. Just at me, okay, next time, at me.
I mean, common experience. It's totally valid. And, like, I get it. It feels the same to me as, like, when I said earlier that, like, I clearly do well with transition periods. I don't feel like I have a problem with change. I don't feel like I have a problem with being alone with myself, but evidently I apparently you know.
It's okay, I do too.
Yeah.
I've, like, kind of been feeling like similar things right now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to school and stuff, and, like, why am I doing this?
Well, and I mean, too, with that, I feel like that requires you to completely kind of rework your schedule. Like, I know when I was over, we were talking about, like, what can you do for breakfast? You know what I mean? Because you have to seek a train ride, and then you have to go here and there, and then you're going to have to bring lunch. Like, that's just so much to think about to figure out your day. Like,
and, like, the thing is, I also, like, don't like thinking about food all the time. And, like, I've been so successful at that lately, and then now I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to have breakfast, lunch, and possibly dinner with me at all times, which is, like, a lot of planning.
Yes.
And then also, like, at my school that I'm going to, you're not allowed to wear a skirt with your leotard.
I'm going to be
wearing a leotard and tights all day long again, which is not what I want, what I need. And, like, the one thing that, I don't know if it's, like, bad or good that I've been thinking about it is, like, I have to remind myself that I am in a woman body.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my classmates will still be in a little girl body.
Yeah.
Because I will be fully 6 years older than some people.
Right. Like, you just can't.
I can't.
It's hard in those environments when you feel like you're practically set up for comparison, but you have to actually remind yourself not to be comparing yourself.
And, like, the thing is, yeah. I hope that I won't be, because I am so much older than some people that I'll be with.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I need to remember.
Yeah.
That I have a woman's body. And some of them don't.
Yeah, I think it's good to have that reminder in your back pocket. Slightly related. I was thinking even, me and some of our friends went to the beach the other day. And I was noticing, like, while at the beach, like, feeling compelled to be looking at other people and their bodies in a bathing suit. In order to, like, you know, obviously,
you can't,
like, compare
just
myself.
Be because you're attracted to them?
No, it wasn't checking them out.
I know.
Yeah. So, but, like, talk about attraction and sexuality another day. But yes, I think in those moments when you're, like, in an environment where everyone's just out there doing their thing, the immediate compulsion is, like, let me suss everybody out so I can compare myself to them, which is, like, not helpful. Like, you gotta shut that down real
quick.
Also,
my boobs have grown again.
Again?
Because of the vaccine. Just
what?
Kidding. I don't know. It's a joke.
It actually, folks, doesn't make you infertile. It just makes your boobs grow.
So if you want bigger boobs, fast.
Oh my god. Ridiculous. Wait, did you re-measure? Did you do the little size chart?
No, but
you, like, you just feel.
I just feel it, and, like, one of my students pointed it out.
No way.
I'm like, wow, Gianna, your boobs look great. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, gave me, like, the look, and I was like,
oh my goodness.
I don't mean, like, they're not wrong, but I'm like, how did I not notice my own titties?
Uh-huh.
So that just goes into, like, I have to remember, like, you are a woman.
That's true. Yes.
Have a body. You have a booty.
Mm-hmm.
You have boobies, and it's okay. Like, you will be fine.
Yes.
Like, I'm not trying to be a ballerina anymore. And in this setting, I need to remember that.
Yeah, definitely. Is your dance class going to be musical theater, or is it going to be ballet?
I have ballet, jazz, tap, and musical theater dance.
That's intense.
Yeah, I mean, not every day.
Yeah, I know, but I guess I just,
like,
thought because the certificate was more geared towards musical theater, it wouldn't have been diverse in the dance background that you need.
Well, I have that, and then I have, like, other classes, like singing and history of musical theater.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild.
So.
I mean, change can be good. Change can be exciting. Can also just be daunting and too logistical to think about all at once.
And, like, I don't know. Like, for me, it's, like, kind of, I've been thinking about, like, oh, like, should I just, like, watch what I'm eating before I go so that I'm, like, in great shape when I get there? And then I'm like, no.
It's those sneaky thoughts. Yeah.
I, like, can't do that right now. Like, I need energy to make it there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have the craziest week of my life,
mm-hmm.
and I need to eat every single day.
Yes.
To make sure I am alive to get there. Yes. I will be dead very soon.
Anyway. Yeah. I mean, you want to be able to perform your best, too, and you can only do that by being
I'll send you a video of my show. It's next Saturday. I'm so scared. Because I'm dancing in it, too, now. And the piece that I'm dancing, like, my solo.
Yeah.
So hard. Like, my ribs hurt right now from breathing so hard because I forgot to use my inhaler
before
I started. Yeah. Everybody, I got asthma from having corona, and now my ribs hurt from breathing too hard.
So if you add that as another reason to go get vaccinated, so you don't develop asthma and so you can grow big
ribs. It wasn't even my fault that I got corona, okay?
I know. It's not.
It was before the pandemic started, so
yeah.
I'm alone.
Like right at the beginning. That's exciting. I love watching you dance, so.
Thank you. It's a very sexy dance. Just kidding.
It's not. Who made it up?
My boss, Deborah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like very class musical theater meets every trick I can do.
Okay. I'm really excited now.
She's like, Gianna, don't hyperextend your arm. I'm like, okay. Like, my suit's like, are you okay? Gianna, are you okay? And I was like, hey, yeah, fine.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. That's funny. I mean, not actually funny. I don't want you to die from an asthma attack.
But okay.
That doesn't help you breathe.
It was fine. I was like, that's fine now, though. Just a little bit of pain in my ribs.
Fair enough.
Anywho.
Yeah, that's kind of all I had to say for today. I just kind of wanted to get that off my chest. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, you'll update us once you start, because, like, I feel like just having a sense of, like, focus maybe will help take your mind off of.
Yeah, we'll check back in. We'll see how we're both doing once our changed schedules, day-to-day lives are more set in stone.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I was thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, a big bowl of, like, pasta salad for, like, to last me the whole day. Like, eat a little bit at breakfast, a little bit at dinner.
I mean, I feel like it would be better to have some diversity, but not a bad thought.
Carrying a bowl in a salad bag in my backpack, just, like, whipping it out.
Yeah.
Like, it won't be, like, cold, but it'll be, like, not hot.
Oh, God. That's so difficult. Everything either needs to be refrigerated or heated up, I swear. Other than bread. No, you should carry around a baguette. Ooh. Carry around a baguette and a jar of your nut butter of choice.
Yeah.
Genius.
I'm good. Perfect. That's it.
Yep.
All right, y'all.
Great.
This is a great talk.
Yes. I did related to today's content, not the poop content, but my experiences, did create a little Instagram post related to that. So if you would like to check it out.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's stunning.
Thank you. Follow us at Zero from the Box on Instagram. If you would like to talk, ask us a question that you would like us to talk about on the podcast. Or if you just need some support, you can always also email us, zerofromthebox@gmail.com.
And if you want to see unrelated content, you can follow me at Gianna Bartolini, on Instagram, or Gianna Sita on TikTok. I'm on the talk, baby. So hit me up.
Yeah.
Anyways, y'all, peace out.
Have a good one.
Bye.